Well, 2 weeks ago today, I turned 50. No secret. Yeah, wow. And I've discovered a couple of things since moving into this new decade. Now, these are things that people told me would happen, but I don't think I ever believed them. A few people said to me that when you turn 50, it's all downhill with your health. You'll go to the doctor more than you've ever been in your life before. Well, this is true. I've been living in Sydney for 2.5 years, and up until 2 weeks ago, I'd been to the doctor once in those 2.5 years, and it was because I got bitten by a spider. Since turning 50, 2 weeks ago, I've been 2 more times. Nothing serious, I've had a dodgy ear. The other thing people have told me is that you'll spend more time reflecting. I thought, that's just for old people. But I think that I have done that already in 2 weeks. But I think that can be said of any milestone that you reach in life. And I shared with the Ladies Fellowship ladies just 10 days ago that for my 50th birthday, I wrote a list of 50 things that I am grateful for. I'm not sure if you can read that, but this is my list. And even just writing this list caused me to become a bit more reflective. It took me a good couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, to actually put this list together. And I reflected on lots of things. You can see there, my faith, my heritage, things like Mexican food, Turkish delights, walking, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, those of you who know that I love the bridge. Lots of things that I reflected on. I thought back to my childhood, into my teenage years, up until now. And I have to acknowledge that God has been present and working in my life since the day I was born. And it was a great opportunity for me to pause and reflect before I turned 50, but I have continued to do so. I recognise that God has been and still is at work in my life and in the world. Well, we just heard a few moments ago from Isaiah 56. Where it says in verse 4, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. My hair is not yet white with age, although if it was to go its natural colour, you would see that it has some grey. But how often do you recognise and reflect on God's working in your life and in the world? Well, as I said earlier, we conclude our series today on Salvation Army Foundations, and we're looking at our values. And our values say this: recognising that God is already at work in the world, we value integrity, that is being honest and accountable in all we do. Compassion, hearing and responding to pain with love. Respect, affirming the worth and capacity of all people. Diversity, embracing difference as a gift. Collaboration, creating partnerships in mission. But this opening statement, recognising that God is already at work in the world, I kind of got stuck on this statement. Because regardless of who we are, what we do, regardless of what stage of life we are in or what we're going through, God is already at work in the world. He was and still is. And sometimes, perhaps more than I care to admit, I don't understand everything. I can't even comprehend so much about God. And I have so many questions. But nonetheless, I believe and I can see God at work. Remember your history. Remember your long and rich history. I am God, the only God you've had or ever will have. Incomparable, irreplaceable. From the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be. All along, letting you in on what is going to happen. Assuring you I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. Remember your long history. At times when I get exasperated, and I'm not sure if that's the best word, but when I have so many questions, it certainly helps me to remember what God has done in the past, how he has been faithful to me, to my family, to so many people and so many generations that have gone before. Because he says, I am God, the only God you've had or ever will have. But in this passage that we just heard from, in the time that it was written, there were people who did not recognize God as the only God. It said that some people poured out their silver and gold and they hired a craftsman to make a god from it, and then they bowed down and worshipped it. Depending on what translation of Isaiah 46 you read, you'll see that the passage is titled something about false gods. In the New Living Translation that we heard from, it says that it's false gods of Babylon. And reference is made to two pagan gods, Bel and Nebo. These gods that the people idolized, that they worshipped and they carried with them. It actually says that they carried them around on their shoulders, and when they set them down, though, they stayed there, that they didn't even move, these gods. But for something to be working in the world, it needs to be able to move. No statue or idol is going to be able to work in the world because they don't move. But our God, our great God, the God of history who we worship today, who we love, continues to move and therefore continues to work in the world. Let's fast forward some 700 years after Isaiah was written to Jesus. Talk about recognizing God's work in the world, because here he is in human form. Here he is living, moving, and continuing to work, perhaps in a more practical way than ever before. Here is God in the form of a man, showing us how to live, how to interact with others, how to love, how to value, what to value. I read a couple of weeks ago this statement: your values form the foundations of your life. They dictate the choices you make and determine the direction your life takes. Your values will influence your decisions related to your relationships, career, and other activities you engage in. They act as the compass that guide you in life. What do you value, and how is this forming the foundation of your life? Is recognizing that God is already at work the basis for which you build your values? In talking with Dave this week, we discussed the values of the Salvation Army, and that possibly any organisation could have the same values that we do. And in fact, many do. You can Google it, because that's what I did. But for us, both as individuals and corporately, the difference in our values is that they are based on Jesus. The Salvation Army values are based on Jesus. They're about people, how we treat people, how we work with people, how we accept people. And they're built on this opening statement that says that we recognise that God is at work in the world. We know that Jesus was a man of integrity, of compassion. He treated people with respect. He embraced all people, showed us diversity, and there were definitely times that he worked in collaboration with others. When I was a kid, I'm sure that many of you will be able to remember this better than me. I remember very clearly sitting in Sunday school on a wooden floor. Kids these days, I don't know how lucky they have it going to Sunday school and sitting on chairs. We sat on a carpet square in a wooden hall. And I remember hearing a lesson. I must have only been in my first couple of years of school, so maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6, from a man who I then thought was really old, but he was probably only 50, teaching us about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I don't know if this was the first time that I heard this story, or perhaps I just remember it on this occasion because he had a visual. He used a felt board, which Mark Paul has now told me is called a flannel graph. Is that right? Is that what they were called? And I remember that there was this one piece of felt that had a whole crowd of people that was supposed to represent the 5,000. And then there was another piece of felt, which was Jesus, which they were amazing, actually, amazing artwork. And then there was the disciples. And then in this case, there was a little boy with his 5 loaves and his 2 fish. And sometimes we would go up and we would actually help to build the scene on this board that was on an easel. That's how I remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And many of us here will know that story. In Luke chapter 9, it records that Jesus had actually slipped away, gone away with his disciples to have some space. But as was so often the case when Jesus tried to retreat a little bit, the crowds of people followed him. They found out where he was going. And it says in Luke 9, verse 11, that he, that's Jesus, welcomed them and he taught them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who were sick. But then late in the afternoon, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, you need to send the crowds away. They need to go and get food and they need to find somewhere to sleep because there is nothing around here. But Jesus, in his wisdom, said, you feed them. Great idea, Jesus. It'd be great for us to be able to feed these people, but we've only got these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. What do you want us to do? To go out and buy enough food to feed all of these people? There are 5,000 men here, and depending on what commentary you read, they say there could be up to 10 or 20,000 people, including women and children, needing food. In Luke, it says that the people sat down in groups of about 50 as Jesus instructed. And then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. And then he, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving bread and fish to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. And we know that people ate plenty. And it says that there was even leftovers. It's very easy when we read or hear this story, as I did when I was a child, and it's actually recorded in all 4 Gospels, albeit slightly differently in each Gospel, but to only focus on the miracle. How did Jesus do this? How did he make this food go so far? But actually, it shows us much more about who Jesus was and what he valued. Jesus could so easily have sent the people away. He could have seen them as an inconvenience. He could have sent them away well before dinner time. You know, the people had followed him, and while I, in my humanness, sometimes question Jesus' boundaries, Jesus clearly had time for the people. He healed them. He taught them about the kingdom of God, and then as the day went on, he fed them. He didn't discriminate, he embraced them. He fed the men and the women and the children. He worked together with the disciples to make this happen. And he used the food of a smart young boy who seemed to have been the only one who actually took food with him. Even Jesus partnered with others when he was here on earth doing ministry as a man. You know, this is just one story in the Bible that we can look at from Jesus' 3 years of ministry here. And I'm sure if I asked you, you would all come up with a different example that you can think of where Jesus' values were displayed. The woman at the well, the healing of the 10 lepers, the curing of the bleeding woman, meeting Zacchaeus, telling him to come down from the tree and to share a meal with Jesus, calming the storm and the sea when the disciples were terrified, how Jesus responded to the woman caught in the act of adultery speaks volumes of what his values really were and are. Jesus showed integrity and compassion and respect. He embraced different ethnicities, different genders. He collaborated with the disciples, with a young boy, all to see lives transformed. In February 2022, I had to go back and look that up. I didn't remember when I did share it with you. But I shared with you about a small card that I have that is about this big, that is pinned above my desk. And someone just spoke to me about it actually only a couple of weeks ago because it's so faded now you can hardly read it. But it's in the handwriting of my dad. And it's probably some of the greatest advice he's ever given me, although he may disagree with that. But he wrote one night at the dinner table at our house after we'd finished having dinner that as a Salvation Army officer, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should find out what God is doing and join him. God is already working. He's already moving in this place, in our faith community, in our wider community. What are we doing to join him? Are we aligning ourselves with the values of Jesus, with the values of the Salvation Army? Verse 9 from Isaiah 46 says, "Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me." How true that is. There is none like God. He has done great things. He is still doing great things. And I believe and I have faith that there are even greater things to come. I mentioned earlier about the core retreat. And you will know if you've read any of the advertising that our theme for the weekend is greater things. "Very truly, I tell you," said Jesus, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because God is still working in the world." So I want to encourage you to recognize his work, to find out what God is doing, and to partner with him to do even greater things, whatever that means for you in your context. And while you do that, align yourself with the values of Jesus, the values of the Salvation Army, so that they will help to form the foundation of who you are and continue to act as a compass to guide your life. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can go all the way back to the prophet Isaiah and see that you're a God of history who was working in the world back then. And God, we want to recognize that fact that you have been working in our world for so long. And Lord, we thank you because you are still working in the world. And we thank you that you sent Jesus to this earth to show us your practical working in the world. And Lord, as your people, we want to acknowledge that today. But we also want to align ourselves with these values of Jesus, that we may be people who have integrity, that we may be respectful of others, that we may have compassion, that we'd be willing to embrace others even when they are different from us. God, we want to work in collaboration with you and with each other as we live lives to serve you and to love you. Thank you for your example to us. May we continue to always seek your will and join with you in what you would want for us as individuals and for us as a body of Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.